the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the Church commemorates the great Saint John Bosco, father to the fatherless, founder of the Salesian Order. Saint John Bosco had many remarkable gifts, and they began early in his life. Of him, Pope Pius XI said that in his life, the supernatural became the natural, and the extraordinary, the ordinary. St. John Bosco himself lost his father when he was 2 years old, and he had a dream at the age of 9 that led him to know his vocation. He dreamt of a crowd of boys that were fighting and bickering, and he tried to calm them down, and without success. And then a lady appeared, a beautiful, mysterious lady appeared to him in this dream and said that he would have to win them over with gentleness and meekness. And at that, the children turned first into wild beasts and then into little lambs. And St. John Bosco understood from this that his vocation would be to shepherd these wild boys. And so from that moment on, he dedicated himself to this, even as a boy himself, gathering the other young boys around him and instructing them in the catechism, entertaining them so as to win them over and then lead them to Christ. He was himself not unlike these boys in their condition of life, inasmuch as he himself was very poor and without means. And so seeing in him the promise of a real leader, people contributed to his seminary training, the cost of sending him to seminary, clothing him, keeping him fed so that he could dedicate himself to preparing for the priesthood. And as he did this, he also continued his volunteer work. And through his dedication, I'll just cut briefly to the final fruits of his life. So he dedicated himself to working with kids, and continually his project grew. I mean, even while he was just a newly ordained priest, he was employed as a chaplain to basically a girls' school, and on the side he would have Sunday school for the boys, and being that they were very rough and tumble, they were soon asked to leave, and he had to choose between remaining on as the chaplain to the girls' school or resigning, and he chose to resign his position and continue to minister to these boys. At first they were housed in a rented shed, but immediately, they continued to grow, and from one build on to this work that he had started. And by the end of his life, so he gathered around him constantly more and more youth and more helpers who saw in his work the inspired project of God, and he was led to, in order to be able to continue this growing project, first from one house to two or three houses, and then they spread, he gathered around himself helpers, and he dedicated this work of building these oratories for boys and educating them, and he called that group the Salesians, dedicated to his favorite saint, Francis de Sales. And by the end of his life, he had 64 foundations around Europe and America, and about 800 priests within his congregation, and they've continued to grow from that time. St. John Bosco died in 1888. And his remarkable work was helped by the grace of God in so many different ways, but one remarkable gift that he had was that God would speak to him in dreams that were more like prophetic visions, these elaborate, detailed dreams that to him were often a torment. And there's one dream in particular which is very interesting. I think the one that most people know of is his dream of the battle in the sea with the great ship representing the bark of Peter being attacked by numerous smaller boats that represent the various sects and the two pillars representing the Blessed Virgin Mary, or on which appear the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the larger, sturdier pillar of the Eucharist. That's a fairly well-known vision. But he had many dreams. I think there were around 150 that he recorded. And these dreams were given to him to help him in his work, to help shepherd these boys. One of the dreams that he had was a very long, elaborate, and terrifying dream in which he was shown hell. And he was shown so many of his young boys falling into hell along a long path set with many traps which represent all variety of sins, mortal sins. And the dream, wherever there was a portal representing the gate of hell, there were various inscriptions, and all of these inscriptions are the warnings that Jesus gives us in the gospel, or even in other places in sacred scripture, the Old Testament. And it's remarkable to realize how numerous are these references in sacred scripture to the real peril of eternal perdition. At one of the portals, he reads from Matthew, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels." And another, "Every tree that yielded not good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire." From the Old Testament, from the book of Judith, "He will give fire and worms into their flesh, and they may burn and may feel forever." And then from the book of Revelations, "The pool of fire where both the beast and the false prophet shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And numerous other quotations from sacred scripture that mark these portals of hell into which so many of his children were going, boys he recognized, boys he didn't recognize, and he had a companion with him that was giving him this guided tour of hell. And he remarked, how is it possible that these boys are given such a heavy sentence for sins that they themselves had such little regard for, that they didn't really understand the gravity of? And his companion said that these are the destinies of these boys if they should die now. In other words, they were living in a state of sin, in a state of mortal sin, and so it was given to John Bosco to understand this in order that he could help these boys. He continually asks in this long tour whether he can tell the boys of their danger. And he is given hope then. But I just want to mention that these dreams, in fact, that his guide, his friend who's helping him survive this terrible experience, he tells him, I've lost my train of thought on this. I'll come to the conclusion here. He does warn him that some of the boys will simply, you know, hear this for the moment and then dismiss it and say, well, it was just a dream, and discount it. And as a means of leaving St. John Bosco with a real proof that there was more to it than just a dream, at the very end, he wants him to touch one of the walls. All along, St. Bosco is resisting, wants to go back to the boys and just get out of this place. And his guide tells him, no, you have to experience at least just a small taste of what it is really like. And he has him touch one of the walls. And so before, he says to St. John Bosco in the dream, look at this wall. And this is, I'm reading from the account of the dream. St. John Bosco says, I did intently look at this wall. It seemed incredibly thick. There are 1,000 walls between this and the real fire of hell, my guide continued. 1,000 walls encompass it, each 1,000 measures thick and equally distant from the next one. Each measure is 1,000 miles. This wall, therefore, is millions and millions of miles from hell's real fire. It is just a remote rim of hell itself. When he said this, I instinctively pulled back, but he seized my hand, forced it open, and pressed it against the first of the 1,000 walls. The sensation was so utterly excruciating that I leaped back with a scream and found myself sitting up in bed. My hand was stinging, and I kept rubbing it to ease the pain. When I got up this morning, I noticed that it was swollen. Having my hand pressed against the wall, though only in a dream, felt so real that later the skin of my palm peeled off. Bear in mind that I have tried not to frighten you very much, and so I have not described these things in all their horror as I saw them and as they impressed me. We know that our Lord always portrayed hell in symbols, because had he described it as it really is, we would not have understood him. No mortal can comprehend these things. The Lord knows them and reveals them to whomever he wills. The Lord willed to reveal to St. John Bosco many truths, beautiful and horrible, for the salvation of souls. And St. John Bosco dedicated himself tirelessly with all of his energy and power to saving the souls of these young boys that were given to him to care for. And he did it through charity. He was remarkable as one of the models of educator, and his method was that of gentleness, humility, loving children as though they were his own sons, but also telling them the truth in charity, such as the reality of hell and the danger that these boys were in if they continued in their sins. Let us ask St. John Bosco to intercede for us, that we too might know the reality of God's truth and feel it in our hearts and be convinced of it, so that we too can tread the path that leads to salvation and bring others along with us, with the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary. help of Christians and refuge of sinners. Praise be Jesus and Mary.